Well, next, we've got something to shout about here on Radio 4 Extra. It's a show which began its run at the very start of the 1960s and came hot on the heels of the demise of both The Goon Show and Hancock's Half Hour. Very big boots to fill, but fill them it did, rather well, in fact, running to over 50 episodes over three series across 2 years. The show stars Michael Medwin, Till Death Us Do Part star Warren Mitchell, Fenella Fielding and Joan Sims, who, according to co-writer Miles Rudge, regards this programme as even more of a carry-on than her films were, and she ought to know. So let's head over to London advertising agency Apsley Addis Cohen Barbican Blythe Gideon Partners for this very first episode from July 1960.
You're about to hear the only advertising programme on BBC. It's topical, it's non-political, it's the first radio programme without a blue streak.
It's something to shout about, it's something to shout about, it's something to shout about and cry out loud.
It's new, it's heartwarming,
it's non-habit-forming.
We can really guarantee it's something to shout about.
It's the most sensational thing since Lady Chatterley took up gardening. It's... It's new, it's different, but it's no better.
It's something to shout about, it's something to shout about.
Please! So inartistic. Where was I? It's the new non-habit-forming show with a miracle mystery ingredient, people. Michael Medwin with Eleanor Summerfield, Fenella Fielding and Joan Sims and a cast of several bring you a light-hearted expose of the advertising world.
Michael, darling, are you ready to sign these letters?
Certainly, darling. I mean, Janet. Now, what did I do with my pen?
I'll bring them over.
I know I had it earlier because I did the crossword puzzle. Now, where on earth is it?
My delightful, Dovis. Just a moment.
Oh, I don't know where it is.
Well, I'll look for it. There's a call for you. Perhaps in your inside pocket. Let me see if I can find it.
Hello? Oh, good morning, J.S. Janet, what are you doing? Oh, sorry, J.S. Yes, sir, I'm listening. Oh, dear. Oh, yes, that is bad. Oh, I'm awfully sorry. Oh, for heaven's sake, go away. No, not you, sir. No, I was talking to my secretary. She's tidying my in tray. Oh, have they really? Oh, well, I see that doesn't happen again, J.S. Oh, I am sorry, sir. Yes, well, I'll have to try and get some new clients somehow. Okay, J.S., goodbye. Thanks for the massage, Janet.
I enjoyed it.
Well, J.S. didn't. He's in a flaming temper this morning.
He always is.
Yeah, I know, but he doesn't always open the conversation by calling me a pea-brained, useless streak of nothing. He usually waits till the end.
Has my darling been a naughty boy?
Often, but this time during working hours. I've lost a client.
How careless.
If I don't get some new clients, I'm going to get the push.
Oh,
J.S.
darling, I can't bear to see you looking so worried.
Well, I am worried. I've got my old age to think about.
Oh, let's make the most of my fleeting youth. Let's live. Let me look for your pen again.
Now, Janet, sorry.
Hello, young lover.
Hello, Maggie. We were just looking for something.
You'll be looking for another secretary if you're not careful.
No, not at all. I find Janet ample.
I see what you mean.
You're very full of sweetness and light this morning.
Oh, well, I want to borrow a tin opener.
Tin opener?
Yes, a client has sent me a new sort of cat food called moggy meat.
So naturally you want to try it.
Yes. I'm auditioning cats this morning for the TV commercial. It's no good picking a photogenic Persian, only to discover at the studio that it's a vegetarian.
I say, Michael, are you looking for a new client?
Desperately.
Well, old chap, you know that big American firm, Dainty Suds Soap Manufacturing Company, the one that does Milady soap?
Oh, of course I do, and what a soap, and what a slogan. You start the day right if you take a bath with Milady.
Well, they're bringing out a new product. Have you got the advertising world?
It's usually lying about.
I know, but what's it lying about this week?
Here it is.
Well, take a look at the middle page.
Here. Madison Avenue is bristling with rumors about Danish Sud's new product, which is still top, top secret. Vice President Hartley B. Pimslow II, when asked to comment on this, replied, "I'm not going to confirm that we have a new product, and I am not going to deny it. But if Dandy Suds Inc. does have something up its sleeve, believe me, it won't be a red herring."
It doesn't say much, but it could mean a lot.
It's like saying we're just good friends.
If only you could get the advertising account for this new product.
Yeah, old J.S. would love me again.
Look what it says at the bottom of the page. Mr. Hartley B. Pimslow II is arriving in London tonight.
Here, let's see. Hartley B. is flying to Europe on the 18th. Yes, that's today. His first scheduled stop will be London, England. I'll find out what time his plane arrives, then I'm going to meet him and give him the big Oklahoma hello.
Is that anything like the long Susie Wong goodbye?
No, Madam Butterfly, it isn't. Now, you leave Mr. Hartley B. to me. I shall meet him at the airport, and with my irresistible charm, I shall lure the account out of him. Now, what is it that Americans like? What is it that Americans go for?
Morning, no.
Well, that's one answer.
Maybe you're supposed to be in the typing pool.
I know, but I escaped.
Look, what have you done today?
My hair, my nails, and sixpence on the big race. Honestly, there's no work down there. It's dreary.
You'll soon be bashing the keyboard again. Mr. Lightfoot's hoping to get a big new account.
Now, where were we? Oh, yes. How can we impress this American?
Did you say American?
Yes.
Well, gorgeous. I'm an expert on them.
You know, I thought you might be.
If I remember rightly, old girl, there used to be a GI who came in to pick you up at the office.
Oh, that's right. Hank, his name was. Didn't half speak funny. Used to say tomatoes instead of martyrs. We was going steady. I saw him three nights running.
Yeah, then you slowed down and let him catch you. Now, Mavis, if you're an expert, have you got any ideas how to impress our American client?
Well, they do like their own food. One night, Hank took me to a cafe, and you know what he ordered? Chicken and pineapple. Chicken and pineapple? I ask you, it put me right off my kippers and jam.
All right, we'll be careful about his food. But what else can we do to create a big impression when we meet him?
Well, Americans like blondes.
Then take Mavis.
And they're crazy about history. They like ruins.
Then take Maggie.
Nah, just...
No. Girls, will you stop it, please? We'll take Mavis. Adrian, there ought to be something else. Something to make him feel important when he arrives.
Perhaps you could get London Airport to give him some preferential treatment.
Now, my mum had that for her fallen arches. They put your feet in a bowl of water.
All right. All right, Mavis, that'll do. Now, Maggie, that's a very good idea. We'll give him the full VIP treatment.
Oh, they'll never do that, Elmer.
Oh, nonsense. I'll fix it.
European Airways wish to announce the departure of flight 762 for Rome, Athens and Beirut.
But it's absolutely essential that Mr. Pimslow gets VIP treatment. I mean, you can't subject an eminent American to the customs, being weighed and given blood tests and so forth.
I'm sorry, sir, but Mr. Pimslow is not on our VIP list.
Only really important people qualify for VIP treatment.
Well, American crooners get it when they arrive.
Yeah, but hardly ever when they leave.
And British rock and roll singers who've made one record, they get it if they leave the country.
I think most of them have to.
Now, if you'll excuse me, sir.
Any joy, Michael?
I say, Adrian, oh boy. Adrian Beale's delighted to see you.
Fruity! What a surprise. I say, Fruity, old chap, can you help me?
Always did.
Well, I'm in a spot of bother.
What's her name?
No, you see, Michael, this gentleman and I, are in advertising.
Oh, the frothy coffee boys.
Yes. We've got a prospective client coming in on the Jet Clipper. We must impress him. Can you lay on...
Oh, no, sorry, just been going into that. No can do. Tell you what, though, I'll give you a pass and you can take your car out and meet him off the plane, and then he'll be first through the customs and all that malarkey.
Oh, thanks, Fruity. You are a sport. Well, where is he?
I can't see anyone who looks like that photograph.
What about that chap over there?
Which chap?
The one with a pale green face, shaky hands, and a nervous twitch.
That's the pilot. Oh, I say, that's him. Look, coming down the gangplank. Oh, good evening, sir. Mr. Pimslow?
That's correct. I'm Hartley B. Pimslow II. Have a tranquilizer.
No, thank you, sir. I'm driving. Now, I'm from...
Yes, I know. That advertising firm who cabled me.
Oh, that's it, sir. Apsley, Addis, Cohn, Barbican, Blythe and Gideon Partners. I'm Michael Lightfoot, account executive. And this is Adrian Beals, one of Britain's foremost copywriters.
How do you do, sir?
Howdy.
And this is Mavis Willis, one of Britain's foremost typists.
It's charmed to meet you.
Well, any friend of yours is a friend of mine.
How are you, Mr. Pimsler?
I'm a sick man. My stomach's been making acid right away across the Atlantic. I doubt if I'll make the customs check.
Oh, don't you worry, sir. Our car's right here. Step in, will you?
Thanks. Hey, this is what I call real hospitality.
Well, it's just part of the firm's service. We always meet important clients and see to these little formalities.
But I'm not a client of your firm.
Ah, well, now, that's just another formality we'll have to see to.
Mr. Lightfoot, Oh, excuse me. I must have an anti-acid tablet. Now, there's something I want to make clear. I'm here on a vacation. I'm here to do England, and I'm leaving just before lunch tomorrow.
Why not stay till after lunch and take in Scotland as well? No, I mean, why not stay a little longer? Then perhaps we could discuss this new...
I'm not here to transact any business, and I'm not divulging my new product.
Yeah, but, sir,
Here's the customs hall, Mr. Pimsler.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'll just take a few tranquilizers before I go through.
Oh, what a life. All this fuss, and now he doesn't want to know.
Shh, you'll have him making acid.
Yeah, I'm making... I'm making quite a bit myself. But, Maggie, I was up till 2 o'clock with the old boy. He just refuses to discuss business.
Didn't you get anything out of him?
Yeah. 3 tranquilizers and an anti-acid tablet.
But, darling, you're not going to let him slip through your fingers.
No, don't worry. I've got a plan. Now, there are 5 of us all together. We'll take it in turn so that one of us will be with him at all hours of the day and night.
How are we going to keep him here?
Well, I found out one thing. He's an Anglophile.
Well, what's religion got to do with it?
Michael means that he's crazy about English things.
That's right. And so long as we keep showing things that are typically English, he's bound to stay. Now, Maggie, you take the first shift. Show him the English way of life. Tower of London, Hampton Court, St. Paul's.
St. Pancras.
And... And don't forget that new product. Try and get some information out of him.
Leave it to me. I'm pretty good when it comes to pumping.
Yes, and you've got so many spare tires to prove it.
Now...
Girls, please.
Where will I find our unsuspecting victim?
At the Westlake Hotel. Now, go to it, Maggie, will you? Operation Pimslow's in progress.
Well, let's hope the patient survives.
Parliament Square, Mr. Pimsler. As you might say, the heart of the British way of life.
The heart, eh? Well. See, I must have left my anti-acid tablets in the Tower of London.
Look, never mind. They'll be quite safe there. You must stop worrying, Mr. Pimsler. Perhaps that new product's on your mind. Perhaps if you talked about
it... Oh, no. I just want to forget all about it. See, tell me, what's that statue over there?
William Pitt. Father of the British Parliament.
Yeah, what's that other statue?
I think that's Mr. Gladstone, the father of, several people.
Well, it says underneath Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, well, that's probably the result of some student rag. They're always interfering with statues.
Oh, please, look, I want to see something typically English. Otherwise, I'm pushing off to Paris.
Oh, well, never mind, Mr. Pimsler. Mavis will give you a typical English lunch, taking you to one of London's oldest eating houses, the Cheapside Chop House.
Great! I can't wait!
I'm glad you like this place, Mr. Pimsler.
Yeah, it's quaint. It's real quaint. Oak beams, brass plates. Yep, this is a real bit of old England.
Now, where's the waiter? Waiter! Oh, he's coming.
Now, look at him, will you? He's really something. Looks a typical English butler. No doubt from a stately home.
Buongiorno. Please, what is it you're wishing to ask?
And I thought this place was going to be so English.
Well, the food is now. Let's look down the menu. How about this? Ye oldest steak a la Manhattan.
Well, what in the world's that?
It's a piece of steak in the shape of Ellis Island with a lump of mash on top to represent the Statue of Liberty.
I'm sorry, but no. Now, waiter.
Sir.
I'm an American in London. Now, tell me, where do Americans in London go when they want a decent meal?
They catch the first plane to Paris.
That settles it. That's where I'm going first thing in the morning.
But we can't let him buzz off to Paris. We'll never get the account.
Well, he wants to see something typically English, and there just isn't anything typically English left in England anymore.
Michael, I'm not going to stand by and let you throw away an opportunity like this.
That's very good of you, but what do you suggest?
Well, let's think. We entertained a lot of Americans years ago when I first started with this firm.
Was America discovered then?
Do be careful how you smile, darling. You'll crack your makeup. I remember once I had to entertain J.P. Huckstein of Manhattan Foods. He didn't like anything in England. He was on the point of going. Then I had a brainwave. I fixed him a ticket to watch the House of Commons. He was tickled pink.
Why, did he sit in the woolsack?
No, dear boy, he had a most comfortable seat. We wangled him into the Distinguished Visitors Gallery. Didn't half impress him.
Oh, that's good. Now, Maggie, what's the best way to go about this?
Well, it's obvious. If we land the account, we'll be earning dollars for the country. So ring up the Board of Trade.
Have they got any influence with Parliament?
Yeah, it's a moot point, but you can try.
Janet, get me the number, please.
Okay.
Oh, Adrian, pop next door and ring old Pimslow. Tell him the good news.
Right now, Michael. It's the Westlake Hotel, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Michael, your number's ringing.
Oh, thanks.
Hello, Board of Trade. You've never had it so good. Can I help you?
My name is Michael Lightfoot, and I'm an account executive of an advertising firm. Now, I'm entertaining a most important client. He's an American.
I'd better put you through to the Colonial Office. They deal with that.
But America is not a colony.
Well, nobody said.
Look, all I want is some help in entertaining an American client and take him to the House of Commons.
Distinguished Visitors Gallery?
Yeah, would that be possible?
Why, yes, I'll leave a ticket at the gate for you.
Oh, that's absolutely marvellous.
I'll think nothing of it, old boy.
Thanks, goodbye.
Well, did you fix it?
Yep, we've got a ticket for this afternoon. House sits at 3.
Is that the first house or the second?
Good work, Michael. If you land this account, it'll make all the difference to your career. You better go round and pick him up.
No, I'm not taking him. I'm sending Janet.
But why?
Well, look, it looks like the old boy is going to go to Paris, huh? But before he goes, we must map out an advertising campaign for his product and present it to him.
But you don't know what his product is.
That's why I'm sending Janet. She's, she's rather good at wheedling things out of people. She's got something that every man longs for.
Can't quite see what, except big muscles.
Will you stop this bickering? Now, Janet, when you're at the house with Pimslow this afternoon, ply him with soft words and tranquilizers until he bears his heart to you.
Leave it to me. I'll overcome the opposition.
Michael, I don't know that I really approve of this sort of strategy. I mean, using Janet like this. In all my years with the firm, I've
But, Maggie, what's wrong with her?
Haven't you ever heard of ethics?
Isn't that the county next to Sussex?
Oh. Oh. Well, play it your way, Michael. I must dash off to see the rushes of my Moggy Meat commercial.
And the best of luck. Now, Janet, it's up to you. Give the old boy plenty of soft soap, you understand? We'll wait here for you to report progress.
Well, this is really nice. It's so typically English. Now, where is this Distinguished Visitors Gallery?
I think we go through that door. I say, Constable.
Yes, miss?
This gentleman and I would like...
Are you two constituents?
No, just good friends.
See, we got this ticket here.
Oh, well, you can sit anywhere you like in the gallery.
Oh, thanks. Have a tranquilizer.
This way, Mr. Pimslow. Let's sit here in the corner.
Yes, that's our baby pastime, watching television.
Rubbish.
I have only one thing to say about television, gentlemen. If we must have out-of-date, badly-made films on TV, why must they always be American?
Yes.
Surely there are plenty of English ones.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, I think at that point, gentlemen, we'll have a recess.
Yeah. It's a great speech, that. Great speech. Heartwarming. Where are they going?
They're going for tea and telly on the terrace. Mr. Pimsleur.
Yeah?
I'm terribly glad that we're alone together in this corner.
Please, do you have to come so close?
I can't keep away. You're so friendly.
Yeah, if folks do say I'm cozy and homely.
Well, sir, that's all right. Do you know what I think? You look, how shall I put it, lived in.
Yeah. Thanks.
You do, yeah. Now, I really mean it. Do you know what I love? I love the way your hair grows at the back of your neck. You know, it makes up for the fact it doesn't grow anywhere else. Mr. Pimsleur.
Yes?
Now, Mr. Pimsleur, yes. Tell me, because you're such a doll. This new product of yours...
Yes?
What is it?
I'm afraid I can't say.
Would you mind if I came a little closer?
You'll be on the other side of me in a minute. Stop it, please.
Just tell me about your worries, your wives, your work, your new product.
I've been married 3 times.
Children?
No, big girls. But you don't want to hear about my work. It'd only bore you.
Oh, no, it wouldn't bore me. I love hearing the way you talk. To me, your voice is like... Oh, it's like a violin played by an old master. Now, come on. Tell me about you.
You know, it's sickening having to work so late, Elmer.
Never mind, Adrian. It's for the good of the firm.
I hope Janet's all right.
Oh, she can look after herself. Before she left the office, I noticed her sharpening her stiletto heels.
Listen, you know what these pill addicts are. He might have taken an overdose of vitamins and gone berserk.
Yes, take my granny. Terrible one she was for her aniseed balls. She used to eat them in bed, then woke up one morning and found the room full of dogs. I was only saying to my friend the other...
Hello? Oh, hello, Janet. Where are you? The House of Commons? Oh, there's a terrible noise. I can hardly hear what you're saying. I said, I can hardly hear what you're saying. He's told you what? Oh, marvellous, Adrian. He's told her all about the product. Yeah? Yeah, I'm listening. Let's speak up, Janet. I can't hear. Yeah? Yeah, I've got that. What was the other bit? No, spell it, darling. D-O-G-S. Dogs. Are you sure? Well, sounds very peculiar. Janet, are you still there? Janet?
Has she hung up?
Sounds more as if she's fallen down.
Well, what is it, the new product?
Well, I'm sure Janet must have got it wrong.
What did she say?
Well, she said it was a toothpaste for dogs.
A toothpaste for dogs?
Well, that's what she said, but it can't be, can it?
I don't see why not. They already have shampoos and overcoats, and some have little plastic booties and raincoats.
Well, if we stopped plugging things that sounded ridiculous, we'd all be on the breadlines.
Well, let's try and map out a campaign.
Yeah, well, we ought to think of a name first. What about Doggy Dent?
Yeah, or Puppy Dent.
Mavis, you write this down. Mavis? Mavis, wake up.
What? Oh, I was having such a lovely dream. I was shipwrecked with Adam Faith and we were both wearing the same life belt.
Well, I want you to take some notes. We're in a very tight corner.
So was I.
Now, we want the name of a toothpaste for dogs.
A toothpaste for dogs?
Why don't we call it Fang?
That's an idea. But we must be severely realistic about this. What sort of people will buy Fang? Now, Adrian, do you know anyone with a dog?
I knitted a cardigan for a poodle once, but it wasn't much of a success.
Why not?
He couldn't do up the buttons.
You're supposed to be taking notes. Now, Adrian, supposing you had a newspaper ad for Fang, what would you write?
Well, I think a picture strip would be best. You know, in the first picture, the dog is friendless and alone.
Uh-huh. No one wants to play with it. People cut it dead in the streets.
Ah, it's socially a failure. Then it uses Fang. And in the last picture, we see its wedding with crowds of laughing friends.
Well, you can cut that out for a start. Now, let's forget the idea.
Oh, I think it'd be better with pictures.
Why?
Well, dogs can't read, you know. I mean, but anyone can understand pictures.
Well, we just have a really good slogan. What about this? Is your dog afraid to smile?
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, if only we could get a picture that goes with it. I know. Maggie, what about a cartoon film on television?
Talking dogs, you mean?
Or singing dogs. They're always popular.
Something for the kiddies.
I say, chaps, why don't we take some well-known song about dogs and angle it to the ad?
Like what, for instance?
Well, Fangs for the Memory.
I see. What about about the Dalmatian of Faust?
Too long.
Someone else's baby, someone else's eyes are blue.
Thank you, Mavis, 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 thank you, Mavis, that's enough. Mavis. That's quite enough of that, Mavis. That has absolutely nothing to do with dogs.
I know, but I keep thinking about me and Adam Faith in that lifeboat.
Wait a bit, Mavis, get this down. Pekingese up, Mother Brown, Pekingese up, Mother Brown. Shine your doggy's teeth with fang. Oh, what a flavour, oh, what a tang.
Pekingese up, Mother Brown, Pekingese up, Mother Brown.
Well, well, we're having a party.
Why, Mr. Pimslow?
But we haven't broken anything up.
Oh, no, well, Mr. Pimslow, I think I ought to tell you that...
You needn't tell me, boy, I know.
What?
Oh, Michael, he knows it all. I've failed you. The whole thing's my fault.
Next time you make a private phone call, young lady, shut the door of the booth. Anyway, if you've dreamed up some high-powered ad campaign for my new product, what is it?
Well, of course, we've only just started getting the feel of the idea.
Well, get on with it.
But a good idea we thought of was, what about a TV cartoon of a singing dog?
Well, for Pete's sakes, why?
Well, you see, we started with the slogan, Is Your Dog Afraid to Smile?
Michael, have you got out of your mouth?
Certainly not. I think it's a very good slogan for a toothpaste for dogs.
For what?
For a toothpaste for dogs.
I never said it was a toothpaste for dogs.
You did. I even spelt out the word.
No, I didn't. I said it's a toothpaste with dots. Polka dots. You know, like a toothpaste with stripes, only dots.
But I could have sworn you said dogs.
A toothpaste for dogs of all the crazy ideas.
Well, that's just what I thought, and I've got 3 pages of notes to prove it.
Just wait till I get back home and tell the boys.
Well, I must say, we thought it pretty silly, too.
We'll be needing these, then, will we?
Hey, wait a minute. A toothpaste for dogs? Maybe it's not such a crazy idea.
Oh, let's forget the whole thing.
Well, think of the potential market. Well, this could be the biggest thing since ballpoint pens. Deep down, I can feel it.
Are you sure, Mr. Pimsley?
Sure, I'm sure. I've stopped making acid.
Congratulations, sir. Now, all we have to do now is to start making fang. Mavis, where are your notes?
Oh, dear. Anybody got a piece of sticky tape?
It's something to try about. It's something to try about.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, Adrian by Nicholas Phipps, Mr. Pimslow by Warren Mitchell, and several other unlikely characters by Michael Barrington. The Jingle Bells and the Bernie Fenton Quartet were under the direction of Cliff Adams. The script was written on greaseproof paper by Miles Rudge with the help of Ronnie Wolfe, and the program was thrown together by John Simmons, who's known to members of the cast as the original do-it-yourself producer. The show was recorded and will be used in evidence against him. Next week, have a pencil handy, as you might want to take something down. Your aerial, for instance.